What is going on, guys? It's your boy Ben Houston back with another episode of The Center Scoop. Today we're going to be talking about a book called Go Tell It on the Mountain by James Baldwin. Alright, let's get right into the plot. So first, it starts out, the setting is Harlem, 1930s, with this boy named John. John's our main protagonist. There's about three different characters, John's the main one. It's John's birthday, he's turning 14 years old, and it's kind of, the main plot's him coping with the fact he doesn't know what he wants to do with his life. He doesn't know. His dad's a preacher, and he doesn't know if he wants to go into it or not. And it's just him deciding overall. So first, let's go through the characters real quick. We have the protagonist, John, who's the son of Elizabeth, and his stepdad is Gabriel. He's got a brother, Roy, who's the exact opposite of him, and a sister named Sarah, and a baby sister, I forget her name, I think it's Ruth. He's super intelligent, which he talks about, and how that's important because Gabriel hates it, knowing that he's not his blood. And John hates his dad, just because he's abused him all his life, and he's made him feel terrible. He's made him try to turn away from God. Originally, he wants to make a new life away from his stepdad in the church, and he wants to go off and do everything else like a normal person. But at the mass, he has that revelation, and then we have Gabriel, who's the father of Roy and Sarah, and the stepdad of John. Through flashbacks, we learn he first had a wife down south named Deborah, but she was infertile, so he ended up cheating on her with a woman named Esther, who he worked with, and they had a kid named Royal. And Gabriel doesn't tell his wife about that kid, and the kid ends up dying by getting stabbed. We have Elizabeth, who's John's mom, and we found out through her flashbacks that she had John with a guy named Richard, who she loved very much and was very happy with, but he ended up committing suicide after he was accused of robbing a store by some white men, which he didn't do at all, and he commits suicide because he got beat up and honestly probably worse. And we have Aunt Florence, who is a sister of Gabriel, but she left the family when Gabriel was younger and a hot-headed kid, and while his mother was on her deathbed, and he left Gabriel to take care of her by himself. And she ended up moving away, and she got married to a guy named Frank, who was an absolute drunk, and they were married for 10 years, and then he left her, and he eventually died in World War I. First, I'm going to talk about how I'm going to go through the main storyline, because this book's centered around flashbacks and stuff, but right now I'm just going to go through everything that happens in the present. Alright, right off the bat, we see Roy's troublemaker brother, his two sisters that don't really matter, and his mom, who he really cares for. And at first he doesn't know if they're going to remember his birthday or not, but then he discovers his mom remembers his birthday. And so then he uses this money to go do whatever he wants. When he goes out, he picks a movie because he knows his dad will hate it, and it's center stuff, so he picks it anyway. After the movie, he goes home, back to his apartment, and he sees his sister running out the house, so he knows something's up, because his sister's never that quick. And then he goes up to his apartment building, and some little boys say that something happened with his brother. So he runs upstairs, and then he finds his brother Roy laying on the bed, and his sister tells him that Roy got stabbed. And apparently he was messing around with some kids he wasn't supposed to, with some white kids, and one of them stabbed him across the forehead. And it wasn't deep enough that he'd die or anything, but it was still a huge deal. And everyone's wondering, like, where he was and stuff. His mom stays quiet, but his dad's there yelling at him, wondering where he was. His dad's sister, his Aunt Florence, she's there wondering where he was. And everyone's mad at John, even though John had no effect on it whatsoever. Well, then this is where we first actually see how John's dad is and what he's like. Because while they're talking, John's dad, Gabriel's acting like it's his mom's fault, Elizabeth. He's like accusing her of not watching the kids or anything. And Elizabeth and Florence talk about how Roy, like, you can't watch him. He's too crazy. He's going to get away no matter what. And so they argue back and forth, and Elizabeth keeps making those points how he's unwatchable. He's always going to escape because he's a troublemaker. And then Elizabeth says something about how he's like a young Gabriel. He's like Gabriel when he was a kid. That's what his sister Florence says. Then they keep arguing, and Gabriel ends up slapping Elizabeth in the face. And this is the first time we really see Gabriel like in his abusive ways, because the whole book he's talked about abusing John and Roy, and here we see it first with his mom. So their mass is held at the Temple of the Fire Baptized, and here we kind of delve into all the characters' flashbacks that I already talked about, and they kind of think about all their sins and stuff and everything that's happened in their past life, and this leads to the climax where everyone is kind of dealing with their stuff, and they're all singing and they're all praying, and it's a huge deal. And everyone's th like John's thinking about his hatred towards his dad and stuff, and talking about Gabriel's flashbacks and stuff, and we kind of give an explanation for Gabriel and why he acts the way he does, but it doesn't do him justice at all. He's still kind of the antagonist to the whole story between John. We talk about Elizabeth and her flashbacks and her son John. Now she just wants him to do well in the world and stuff, and she wants Gabriel to love him like his own, like Gabriel promised originally when they first met, and he's never fallen through it on. That's all she wants, and she's praying for that and prays for his success. Then we talk about Aunt Florence, and she thinks of her flashbacks, and this is her first time at church in a while, and it's because she kind of says she's slowly dying from something. It doesn't ever really say why she's dying, but she says she's dying from something. She knows her time's limited, so she's trying to fix everything within her family, and she's gonna give. And after all their flashbacks and stuff, it goes to back to John, and he's having this huge moment with the Lord, and he's having these dark visions where he feels like he's just sinking further into darkness, and he's getting scared and frightened and stuff. And he doesn't know what to do, and then he comes out of that light, and then he ends up seeing the Lord, and this changes his whole perspective on everything, and he decides what he wants to do, and then he becomes, by the end of the book, it kind of seems like he's not even scared. He looks at his dad and smiles by the end of the book because of this interaction, and he realizes like what his purpose is and like his importance. So after this event with John and this holy interaction, they're walking back from the mass, and it's kind of everyone accepting what they just learned from the mass and dealing with their flashbacks and dealing with their problems. And this kind of ties into the theme of dealing with your sin, which we'll talk about in a second. But yeah, they kind of accept everything. And John, the book ends with John looking at his dad, smiling, and going forward and moving on. Alright, now let's talk about some literary terms. The first important literary term is the imagery, and this usually comes with the flashbacks and the detail that's given the whole time. It kind of gives gruesome details so you understand exactly how the characters are feeling and stuff, and you can picture it in your head. Like, for example, when it's talking about the stabbings and stuff, it's talking about the gashes and the gruesome beatings and stuff. It gives all the detail. And then during John's journey into darkness, it gives detail of exactly how he's feeling, and you can kind of feel that presence. You can kind of feel like you're sinking into darkness through this. The next important literary term is allusion, because the book constantly gives references to scripture and the Bible characters like Abraham and Moses and Jesus, obviously, and it kind of uses this to connect the characters to like the religious world. Next term is foil. And with foil, there's two characters that I feel like foil John, and that's Roy, because Roy is the exact opposite and kind of plays the opposite part in the relationship between John and Gabriel, and Roy and Gabriel. And then there's Elijah, who's kind of John's mentor, and he looks up to him as an older brother and stuff, and John learns spiritually through him. And at the end, John's asking questions to Elijah and kind of learning through him. And then for me, possibly the most important literary device is characterization, and that's with John. Because at first he doesn't know what he wants to do. This is all in one day. He doesn't know what he wants to do. He just thinks he wants to get away because he hates his dad, and because he's a preacher, he kind of gets that idea. He hates religion too. And then by the end, after that spiritual connection he has with God and the church, he moves past that and decides that Gabriel and his relationship is just shouldn't affect his relationship with God too. And he kind of learns like what he wants to do with his life, and you can see like through the last part where he just smiles at his stepdad while his stepdad looks angry. He moves on from that hate and is past it now. He's developed. So the theme, in my personal opinion, would be kind of focusing on sin and how to deal with your sin and how to move past your sin. And that's seen through all the flashbacks and stuff. You kind of see everyone's mistakes and stuff they felt like they could have done better, but they all come to terms with it and they decide to move on from it and how to develop from it. And so that kind of plays an important role through all the characters, John, Elizabeth, and Florence. And then Gabriel's the opposite. You kind of see Gabriel, and through his hate, he can't accept his issues, and that kills him. And through this book's writing style and format, you kind of understand every character's feelings and stuff and why the way they are as the book develops. And there's no linear format to it, and that just contributes to the book as a whole. And I really recommend this book, Go Tell It on the Mountain by James Baldwin. It's really interesting, and you kind of explore a side that you might not have like thought about, even if you're not religious. It's really something to think about. So, yeah, that's the Soul and Scoop. Thank you.